then more. Kristen, y'all getting all this, ain't you? So when Raylan starts opening the word and rightly dividing it, y'all better listen. Somebody say amen once in a while, okay? What a blessing.
He said, it's got Jesus' words
in it. Can't argue with that. Thank you for your prayers. I just had a cold, whatever you want to call it, a head cold, whatever. Miss Cindy had an excruciating sore throat. She felt like somebody had run a poker down her throat. I didn't ever have the sore throat, and she never had the head cold. So anyway, we're better. I still not shook hands. And if I don't shake your hand tonight, will y'all please not leave the church because of it? Y'all are laughing, but I'm telling you the truth. We have had somebody leave the church since my tenure here as your pastor because I did not shake their hand. One of the deacons called me and said, you better check on so-and-so. And I said, okay, what's going on? Are they sick? No, you just need to call them. So I called, and as I called and made the phone call, I've been missing you. You've not been here in 3 weeks. And yeah, that's right. Are you sick? No. Okay, that brings up the next question. Is something wrong? Yeah. Okay, you're going to make me guess. Yeah. You got offended. Yeah. Who offended you? You. I said, okay, before I even find out what I did, let me say I'm sorry, because there was no offense meant by anything. Now, can I ask you at least what I did? You didn't shake my hand. I'm telling you the truth. Look.
As long as you got clean hands, I don't mind you shaking.
I said, honey, I said, you know, I stand at the door every Sunday. I know, but sometimes I have to leave before you get back there. Now, that's not really my fault, but nevertheless, that person never been back in the door of Calvary. That's what I say. God help them. But don't leave tonight because I didn't shake your hand. Tonight, we are going to be in the book of Psalm, chapter number 77, Psalm 77. I guess Brother Chris is preaching about now. We're probably getting ready to wrap it up, give an altar call. I'm not exactly sure where he's at, but you pray for Brother Chris. I so do appreciate him standing whenever we weren't able to be here, but nevertheless, I pray for him and the outreach ministries and missions of the church. What's that? Somebody say something? I wanted to follow up just a little bit on what Brother Gwynn brought a message from last Wednesday night. If you were here last Wednesday night, you know what he preached on. If you weren't, then I'll just give you a Cliff Notes version of what it was. He preached on what is your life? What is my life? What does it entail, and what are we here for? What's the greater purpose of our being? And as he preached on that, it caused me to think that, and I closed out with the thought that for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And I kind of went that path and thought that I might even preach on that come Sunday morning, but then I got sick and didn't preach at all. But I want to give you just a few things real quick there before I get into the message tonight, because these were some thoughts that were on my mind. And the Bible says in the book of Song of Solomon, that he is altogether lovely. And that was speaking of the bride was speaking of the bridegroom. And that's an allegory, if you know, the church being the Shunammite bride and then the bridegroom being Christ, being Solomon, as it was described in the Old Testament writing by the Song of Solomon. But the Bible said that he's altogether lovely. And I would ask you tonight, is he altogether lovely? In Mark, I'll flip over here and read this just a second. And I'm going somewhere. Just hang on for just a minute. It said that when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, I'm in Matthew chapter 16. Just listen. You don't have to turn there. I'll responsibly read it, and we'll go right over to the 77th division of Psalm. And he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some say Elias. The others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And then I come across this little writing that bears me to read tonight to the architect. He is the chief cornerstone. To the baker, he is that living bread. To the banker, he is the hidden treasure. To the biologist, he is the tree of life. To the builder, he is that sure foundation. And to the carpenter, he is the door. To the doctor, he is the great physician. And to an educator, he is the master teacher. To the engineer, he is a new and a living way. To the farmer, he is the sower of the harvest and the Lord of the field. To the florist, he is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. To the geologist, he is that old rock of ages. To a horticulturist, he might be the true vine. To the judge, he is the righteous judge and the judge of all men. To the juror, he is the faithful and true witness. To the jeweler, he is the pearl of great price. To our lawyer, he is the counselor, the lawgiver, and advocate. To the newspaper man, he is the good news, the gospel of great joy. To the philanthropist, he is the one, is the unspeakable gift. To the philosopher, he is the wisdom of God. To the preacher, he is the word of God. To the sculptor, he is the living stone. To the servant, he is the good master. To the statesman, he is the desire of all nations. To the student, he is the incarnate truth. To the theologian, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. To the laborer, he is the giver of rest. To the sinner, he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the entire world. To the Christian, he is the Son of the living God, our Savior, our Redeemer, and Lord. Which brings the question, whom do men say that I am? Who is he to you? Only you can answer that. I trust that he is your friend and he is your Redeemer and he is your Savior. But ask that question, who is Christ to me? And I think you'll find a deeper meaning in the Scriptures if you realize that he is the Scriptures. Because the Bible said in John 1:1 that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So going to the message tonight. How do we start off every service? Pretty much every service, how do we start it off? We started off with a song. Every service, I don't care where you're at, we started off generally with a song. What do you do, Brother Grant? You get in your car, first thing you do, turn on the radio. Put it a CD. Stick in the Nun Sister singing. Put it on Joy FM. Put it on one of the local stations. Put it on this. Put it on WCOK, YZD out of Dobson. Put it on CQ, whatever it is. But we're always inundated with a song. Get on the elevator, you got elevator music. Go to the funeral home, you got funeral parlor music. Everywhere you go, we've got music, music, music. We inundate ourselves with music. Macy come out of the womb, basically playing the piano. Cindy has played the piano all of her life. You may not know that about Miss Cindy, but she's played the piano since she was before Macy's age. She was playing the piano. And music has always been a part of our lives. It's been ingrained into us. Miss Martha back there plays the piano like nobody's business. Chastity plays the piano. Don't want anybody to know it, but Chastity plays the piano. Where's Chastity? I know she's back there. I saw her come in, didn't I? Or did I not? There's Ellen Addy playing the piano. Mia playing the piano. Hope playing the piano. These Ford girls now tearing up the piano. I had to stick my head in once in a while, see who it is. And it'll be one of the Ford girls up here just going all over that thing. We love music. We do. I love music. I love music that soothes my soul. I love music. I love music that puts me in a mindset of worship. And if you play the piano or something, I didn't acknowledge you, then I'm sorry. I just named some that I know that do play the piano. Jamie, I know you teach music. You have a degree to teach music. And that's what you do for a living. You teach kids how to sing. Music is a part of your life. Music is a part of my daughter's life. Not this daughter only, but also my eldest daughter. She teaches music. Music.
Amen.
But have you ever been somewhere in such a condition that you've lost your song? I'm asking you that. That's a question to all of us. It's not just to you uniquely, but it's to me. Have you ever been in a position where you just seemingly have lost your song? If you were to go, and I won't have you there right just a moment, but we could go over to the 137th division of Psalm, and you can read about them. And when they ended up in the Babylonian captivity, and the Bible talks about how that they hang their harps upon the willow trees. And he said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The strange land was a land that was not their land. It was a land that was steeped in sin, and it was steeped in the debauchery of sin and depravity of mankind. And that's where God's children were found and held in exile. And they were there, and they found it hard to sing the Lord's song in such a strange land. In essence, they had lost their song. Some songs put you in the mind of music. Some songs put you in the mind of other things. Cindy's got these little, I don't know, I guess, is that an app that you've got? Where you just hit it, and man, it'll make you just mellow right out. It's just soft. It sounds like a creek running, and maybe some kind of a piano in the background, or maybe some kind of a dulcimer, or all these different little stringed instruments. Man, it'll soothe the savage soul. It will. It'll just calm you right down whenever it's just their hymns and worship music and songs of Zion. And it just satisfies you. And what it does too, when the choir sings and they're in the spirit, it puts us in a mindset of worship. It gets us ready for the preaching. It gets us ready for the reception of what God's getting ready to deliver. But how many times have we come in here and we've just lost our song? That's a sad place to be. I want to preach on that tonight, as to what makes us lose our song. Who in here readily would tell me by raising of hand and be real quick about it, don't dilly-dally, who was Asaph? Who was Asaph in the Bible? This is a song of Asaph. It's a song of degrees, a song of Asaph. Nobody know who Asaph was? Scott? He was the right-hand man to the chief musician by the name of Heman. He was the right-hand man, the right-hand stringer, the right-hand architect of the music of Heman. I may have said He-Man or Heman. That's found in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses number 31 down through 39. It gives you a lineage of the officers and some more people that were appointed in David's court and in the king's court. Come on up, Brother Chris. He puts a man over the music, but come on, Chris, get up here at the front. He puts him in a man by the name of Heman. He puts him in the forefront and puts him in the music. But he's got this man on his right hand side by the name of Asaph. And Asaph may have been a transcriber or a one that would transpose or maybe even construct some of the music that would be used in these psalms. And whenever we start reading about these psalms, and whenever it says that it is a song of degrees, or it is a song of Asaph, or to the chief musician, I want you to see what is written here. And then I want to put you in a mind of remembrance and a feeling of overwhelmness, a feeling of depravity, a feeling of sorrow, a feeling of grief, a feeling of so many different emotions that could come your way that could cause you to lose your song. Tommy, you ever lost your song? Mary Doris, you ever just lost your song? I asked Miss Cindy over supper. She don't know what I'm preaching and didn't know what I was preaching. She never asked what I'm preaching, but I just asked her, Miss Cindy, do you ever lose your song? And we started talking about it over supper. Man, she had to agree. Sometimes we just kind of lose our song. If you lose your song, it's a possibility that you won't hear the preaching. Even though the word needs to prick your heart and penetrate your soul and help you, you've just lost it. I would invite you to stand to give reverence to reading God's word. Chris, you just look over there with Brother BJ or one of them. Chapter number 77 of the book of Psalm tonight. And I just want to preach just a little short message tonight. And I won't be long. My throat, I don't think, would hold out. And I don't have a sore throat. It's just that I've had that mess and it drains. When I go from standing up to laying down, you know what happens then? What happens? Cough your head off. But I won't shake your hand or try nobody. I know it's hard to refrain. Nobody kiss me on the mouth or anything as we try to leave. And we'll leave it at that. Don't y'all laugh at me. It happened to one of my deacons standing right back there. True story, didn't it, Danny? Oh, it wasn't Danny. Danny said, clear that up real quick, preacher. It wasn't Brother Danny. He bobbed and weaved, and next thing you know, he got it right in the mouth. He's like, ah. He said, woman, you better get away from me. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and gave an ear, and he gave an ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? And his mercy clean gone forever? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of thy right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in thy sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee. They were afraid and the depths were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path is in great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou ledest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come before you at the close of the scripture reading portion of the service, Lord. And God, I do pray that you'll honor your word, dear Lord, today, and let it become that food to feed our hungry souls tonight. Lord, it's quite possible that one or more than one here tonight, Lord, has simply lost their song. I pray, God, that you'll help us as we try to rightly divide the word tonight, dear Lord, to put us in a remembrance, dear Lord, that we can regain that fellowship, and we can regain that shout, and we can regain that song that you've had in our hearts for some time now. Lord, save that one which is nearest unto hell tonight. If they're in the sanctuary tonight, Lord, under the sound of the preaching, Lord, let them get a new song in their heart, dear Lord, a quickness in their step, that they might too be able to sing your wonderful praise. Lord, I sure do love you. I thank you for what you've done. Bless now our many prayer requests for those having treatments, those that are sick and afflicted, those in the hospitals and elsewhere, those that are bereaved at heart, dear Lord, and those that walk wayward to your word, bring them back safely to the fold. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering prayer requests today, dear Lord. And I appreciate what you're doing, dear Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Bring them back. So, Brother Chris, what do you do when you can't preach? You preach anyway. What do you do when you can't shout? Shout anyway. What do you do when you can't sing? Sing anyway. How many times have you been down in the mully grub, just a little bit disheartened, maybe a little bit of something just not quite lined up today, and it seemed like you maybe should have got up on the other side of the bed because you got up on the wrong side, and everything that you touched today just kind of went awry. Nothing was working. Everything has this haphazard course that you're going, and at times it's just a mess. And it's not just today, but it was that way when you went to bed last night. Why? Because yesterday was the same way. And it seemed like that last week was the same way. And the week before that was the same way. And then you have found yourself in a prolonged period where you just no longer really enjoy the blessings and the things that mattered one time. I mean, coming to church should be a great, great blessing in our lives. It should be that that we hope for. Man, I just can't wait for church again. Because when I get there, man, I hope that God will just bless our pastor and fill him up, Lord. And I hope that you'll just measure out, Lord, that strength that I need. And give me that grace that I need today, Lord. Give me more grace, dear God, for the trying time that I go in. But sometimes we just don't quite get there because we've lost our song. We just kind of come out of a sense of duty rather than out of a sense of deep devotion and passion and hunger and thirst for more from God. We just come because it's Sunday. We just come because it's Wednesday. And my goodness, folks, I'm telling you, I have been there myself. And Miss Jan, that's not a pleasant place to be when you lose your song. You're going through the motions, but you've lost your song. You still come to the choir, but you're no longer lifting up your song, and you're no longer parsing your lips with a splendor and praise unto God. You're just moving your lips. I'm telling you, my friends, we've all been there. And this Psalm of Asaph here, we're talking about him and what caused him to lose his song here. And you would have to look in verse number 6, will be the text verse. He says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. There was a time when Asaph could remember what God had blessed in his heart and how that maybe he had spent some time. He was a contemporary of David. He would then be a contemporary also of Solomon. He went from one kingship into the next kingship. And as he was a composer of words and a transcriber of print to the music that Heman and others would dictate to him, he would put it out. He might be the one that would choreograph it. He might be the one that would put it on print and put it on paper or give it to those of the stringers that would string it on their instruments. And that would, he would be the one that would do that. So no doubt he would have seen David in David's great victories. He would have been able to write a song about how that David had triumphant victories and triumphant times and how that enemies were defeated at the hand of God through the man by the name of David and how that God had stripped Saul of his kingship but gave it unto David. Asaph would have been a hands-on, a first-hand point of view. He would have seen that and he could have written of those great wonders and great splendors. Can you imagine the battles that were wrought by the hand of God through David? Asaph would have been a first-hand account of that. And he could have pinned that down. And he did pin it down. If you'll just start reading in some of these songs where it said the song of degrees, and you start reading those songs of ascent, and you read some of those things, Chris, there are blessings in there. And Asaph would have been one that would have been a first-hand, but not only to the victories, Brother Tammy, he would have seen the sin that crept into David's heart. He's going to write about the victories. He's also going to have to write about that troubled David's heart. If he's going to be one that sees all the benefits and the blessings of God in David's life, he's also going to be one that sees the burdens. He's going to be the one that sees all the trouble sometimes. He's the one that would have seen David whenever the king goes in and you know the rape of Tamar by Amnon and Absalom slew to Amnon. And you see all that mess and it goes back to the sin that David committed whenever he was with Bathsheba. Asaph would have known that. It's no wonder that Asaph pinned down the 77th division of Psalm, and especially verse number 6, whenever he said, I call to remembrance my song of the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. He says, my cry or my grief is before me. My friends, are we not grieving at times? Miss Wanima, did you not just go through a period of grieving? Are there others here tonight that have not been through a period of grieving? And it just seems like the deep grief has stolen your song. Sometimes you just don't feel like singing. It's not just the grief of separation of a loved one or the death of a loved one. It could be many other things that would be attributable to sorrow. It could be miscarriage. It could be this. It could be that. It could be a wayward son or daughter that your heart just, it's broken over. And I see you coming to the prayer room time and again and say, pray for my boys or pray for my family. Pray for this one and pray for that one. I'm telling you, sometimes it'll be that that will cause you to lose your song. You're so broken over a grandson, a granddaughter, a niece, a nephew, a mom, a daddy, somebody. Every time, Preston, you raise your hand in there, or you say, pray for my mama. Man, that breaks my heart because he wants to see his mama saved. And he gets burdened over that. Keep your song, though. Don't let the song go out of your heart. Keep singing. When I said you don't feel like singing, keep singing. When you don't feel like preaching, keep preaching. When you don't feel like doing anything, do it anyway. He says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. He don't just say praise it when you feel like it. He said, let everything that hath breath just praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We ought to do that. So what would make us lose our song? Grief could do that. And you'll see that in the first verse. He said, I cried unto God with my voice. Can you not hear the cry of Asaph, which he has written this out? And he said, with my voice, and he gave ear unto me, and in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. He said, I was troubled. He said, conflict is all around me. My friends, do we not suffer some conflict? Do we not have conflicted lives? Do we not have troubles that come our way? How old's your dear little mama now? Honey, what is she, 100? She's 100 years old. Sure, you're going to be conflicted. You're torn with the need to be here among God's children, getting a little spiritual nourishment for yourself, but also have a need to be there. And it's conflicting in our soul. This Asaph was here. He was a little bit troubled. He says in verse number 2, he said that in the day of my trouble sought I the Lord. That's what you need to do whenever you start feeling like you're just about ready to hang your harps on the willow tree and ask that old question, how can I sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Don't let that strange land take you over. Don't let sin beset you. Don't let trouble beset you. Don't let sorrow beset you. Don't let grief beset you. Don't let these things steal your song. Sing anyway. Just sing anyway. That's the sixth verse. Again, it's my text verse. And he said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. Think about the time that you sang. Think about that brought you joy. Think about that time that you would have got to hear Daddy preach. I didn't get to go on Facebook much today. Some of you stay on there 2, 3, 4 hours a day, 5, 10, whatever. It gives you a little, I'm serious, it gives you a little thing where it tells you your screen time today, and that would have been between watching Fox News or watching whatever, and it gives you a screen time on your phone. So you were on the phone today, or on the screen time was 2 hours and 14 minutes. I didn't have a lot of time today. But I did hit that thing, and I was flipping up through there to see what all was going on and see who's selling what. And some of you people don't look the same in person as you do on there. I'm like, who was that? Well, that's one of my nieces. She don't quite look that way in real life. But you know when I come through, Brother Tam, when I was scrolling up? It was a song from Calvary on the Web. A message from Calvary on the Web.org. And I said, oh, what is that? Pride creeps into my heart. Somebody loves me so good. They've shared one of my messages on Facebook. Woohoo! They love me. I'm going to see what they've shared. See, it don't tell me the name, but it just says Calvary on the Web. I click it. It's Brother Feldman. It's Brother Feldman preaching to lost church members. It was the clip. It was the full message of the clip that I had shared during his service. Like I said, I'm lifted up with pride over here. Yeah, James Bolico shared a message from me, and you didn't. And it wasn't even my message. It was from one from Brother Feldman. It keeps me humble. But honey, whenever you've lost your song, think back about what God's done for 53 years. Two men have pastored this little flock, and there's something said for longevity. And bless God, sometimes I lose my song. Sometimes I ain't no doubt in my mind. Brother Feldman Cheek left. He lost his song. He just didn't feel it. But what did he do? He preached anyway. He sung anyway. He went anyway. He did anyway, because that's what God called him to do. Man, we're quiet tonight. The psalmist in verse number 3, it wasn't just about his cry and it wasn't about the conflict or his trouble. Verse number 3, it was also about his complaint. You ever just complain to God? Is it wrong to complain to God? I don't think it is. I think you ought to make your complaint known to God and talk to him about it. Is that not what the whole book of Job is? Is that not what the whole book of Job is? It's Job and God, Job and God. And then you enter in three friends. Now it's three friends, Job and God. And those three friends were miserable to Job, but it was a complaint before God's, and I've walked upright. Lord, I've not messed with evil, and I've turned it away. And he goes on, the whole book of Job is basically a discourse back and forth between Job and God. He said Job lost his song. He never lost his faith in God. He never lost what he had with God. He said, I come in naked and I go out naked. He said, I didn't have anything then and I won't when I leave this world, but through it all, bless God. He said, I'm going to own it everything because my God owns it everything. He said, I'm going to come through just like gold. And he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He said, I ain't got nothing when I come in. I won't have nothing when I go out. But blessed be the name of the Lord. He might have lost his song, but he never lost his hope and faith in God. here he is, and he says, I remembered God and was troubled, and I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Where you see the word Selah, Brother Chris and Miss Cindy and others, may have been Brother Preston, and we went to a tent meeting. I was preaching in a tent meeting down in Elkett a few years ago and preached alongside of Brother Toby Powers, and great man of God that I dearly love, and he preached a whole message on that one word, Selah, which means rest. I'm glad there remains a rest for those of us that labor in Christ. So I'm asking you the question tonight, what's made you lose your song? Was it death? Was it some sorrow? Was it something that somebody said or did? What happened to make you lose that song? What would it take for you to get it back? Would it have been any different if you had never had the song? I'm thankful for my song, Brother Tam. I'm glad I've got it. You said, do you get down now? Are you sad when you don't have it? I'm really down now. Brother Charles, when I lose my song and I feel like it's gone, and Lord, I'm like the psalmist was in the 142nd Psalm. I looked over to my right hand and nobody was there. Nobody knew me. No man cared for my soul. Refuge failed me. Everything was departed from me. That sounds like a man's lost his song. But what did he do? He kept on calling on God. Have y'all ever heard that old song, Even in the Valley? Even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, He is faithful and true. Even in the valley, when you've lost your song, what did the psalmist say whenever he was there in the deepest of the valley? He said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. Why would he look up there? Why would he fixate his vision? Why would he change his attitude? Why wouldn't he keep his head down and keep looking down? Because I'm already in the valley. Why not just get a little lower? Because our only help, if you're down that low, is going to come from up there. And every good and every perfect gift comes from above. So the psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. He knew where his strength was coming from. He knew where the help was coming from. And that's why I'm saying, if you've got a complaint, if you've got a conflict, if you've got a problem in your life, and you get to that part in life in verse number 6 where it said, I called to remembrance my song in the night. Turn with me. I think one page will do it for most of us. Just turn over to Psalm chapter number 81. I told you that Asaph would have seen David's victories. I told you that Asaph would have seen Solomon's wisdom on display. Remember when there was a dispute and the two ladies fighting over whose child this is, and one of them says, cut it in half. You remember that? That's wisdom by Solomon. Because he goes as far as say, okay, I know which one the mama is now. But Asaph would have seen that wisdom on display. Asaph would have seen all of that. And one of the last known writings of Asaph is the 81st division of Psalms. And how does it open? How's it? I just read to you 77 and 6. He said, well, I recalled my remembrance the song of the night. But one of the last known writings of the song of the musician by the name of Asaph was the 81st division of Psalm. And it opens up and it says this. It says, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow the trumpet in the new moon at the time appointed on a solemn feast day. For this was a statue for Israel, the law of God of Jacob. Hey, what's he saying? He said, I got my song back. He says, sing and sing aloud. And that's what I'm saying. You may have lost it for a brief period in time, but you can get it back. We don't stay down all the time, and we don't all get down there at the same time. You remember the story where David had gone and come back, and he's fighting the battle, and he comes back, and Ziklag is burned. The wives are gone, the children are gone, and there's the smoldering ruins of a city called Ziklag. So David gets 600 men, he goes, and they talked about killing him, and the Bible said he inquired of the Lord, said, do I pursue? God said, pursue, and he goes back, and he takes them 600 men, he goes on to get back the wives, and he's going to pursue them, because that's what God said to do. And they come to a brook by the name of Besor. Hey, some of them, Brother Grant, they got so faint they couldn't go over. Some of them kept going and some of them stayed behind. We won't all lose our song at the same time. Somebody going to keep their shout. Somebody going to keep their song. But while I'm shouting and while I'm singing, somebody overhears a little bit down and out, a little bit discouraged, a little bit wounded, a little bit fragile, a little bit frail, a little bit this, a little bit that. But Brother Chris, you'll get back up. And when you pick back up, you're strengthened. Do you realize that the doctor told me where my hernia was at, that it would be stronger than the other side whenever it completely healed? I said, how is that so? He said, because I put rebar in there. If you just got cement, you've just got cement. But he said, I put you some rebar in there. And what that rebar is, it was a mesh. And he put that mesh in there, about right here. And when he put that mesh in there, he said, that tissue just going to interweave. He said, it's going to grow together. He said, it'll be twice as strong as that other side. He said, by the way, he said, I scoped that other side out. And he said, you've got a dimple over there. It's getting ready to rupture. So he said, you know, you may never have a hernia on that side, and it might blow out tomorrow. He said, but that left side's a lot weak, going to be a lot weaker than your right side. But you know what, Tam? I would never have rebar in there if it had not already ruptured, if it had not already failed. And when that hernia failed, it had to be fixed. You said, well, how did you work that into a message? I don't think up this stuff. I'm just giving it to you as God gives me. I'm telling you this, your song will be sweeter. Your shout will be stronger. Your faith will be developed a little bit stronger once God's had to apply a little bit of his balm of Gilead on it. It'll be strengthened. And you know what you can do, brother, whenever that happens? You can help your brothers. You remember the story whenever Peter's before the Lord and the Lord calls him out and said, Hey, Simon, Satan desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat. That sounds like a desperation right there, Brother Tam. But what did he say? He said, but I prayed for you. Ain't that what he said? And then what did he say just beyond that? What did he say just beyond that? When thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. When you get your song back and you're strengthened, you can help somebody else that's lost their song. I'm done tonight. Won't even give an altar call on that. I'll just ask you to pray quietly where you're seated tonight. And just ask you this. If you need to pray, come pray. I'm not giving per se an altar call. But if you need to pray, pray. If you've lost your song, don't keep going that way without it. I mean, God will give it back to you. We've got husbands and wives in this church that barely speak to one another. You know what I suggest? I suggest your marriage has lost its song. You said there ain't no such thing as a marriage song. Then why do we sing at weddings? I'm telling you what, me and that woman right there make beautiful music together. Our lives are so corded together. We're in perfect harmony, if you will. One with another. And it's supposed to be that way. Now sometimes she'll hit a sour note. I'm not blaming her. That's just the way she is. Sometimes I'll hit a sour note. That's just the way it is. But we go on. We continue to make music. But when you got people that do everything opposite, your polar opposites, I suggest you need to work on your song. You've got kids that you don't even know your kids. And they don't even know you. There's a problem there. You've lost your song. You say, how are you working all that in? Read your Bible. I'll show you. Selah. There's a break in there somewhere, a pause in the action. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time that we could come together and just share a brief portion of your word tonight, dear Lord. I know it's been a short message, dear Lord, and Lord, may not have accomplished much in myself, but Lord, I pray that through the word, dear Lord, you've done a work tonight. Give somebody back their shout. Lord, give somebody back their tears. Lord, give somebody back their song tonight, dear Lord, that may seemingly have lost it. Lord, take a husband and wife, and Lord, follow them in love all over again with you, dear Lord, and then they'll fall in love again with each other. Lord, remind them what they saw in each other whenever they first met, and remind them what they saw in you, dear Lord, whenever you saved them. Lord, give us each one back that, Lord, that sometimes Satan erodes the very fabric of our faith, dear Lord, just kind of chisels away at it, dear Lord, that we then become more of a duty than a devotion. Lord, I thank you for what you've done, and Lord, I give you praise for that you're going to do for that one tonight, dear, whether it might be a broken or burdened, in Christ's name. Amen. Folks, tonight we will have a short conference. I know there's not a lot of people here, but...